I want you to be aware of something that's cooking right now on the national scene, international scene, I should say, that's very important. And you're going to overlook it because it's being soft-pedaled in the news, basically compared to the importance that it carries. And that is Saddam Hussein, who was the dictator of old Baghdad, which is old Babylon, which is a type. Have you ever really wondered why that he was not afraid to go to war with America? There's a real good reason. He had a one-world system of at least 250 people from various nations that he had paid off. He had bought him freedom, he thought, from starting with the United Nations, starting with at least two nations that had veto power over the United Nations, and big bucks were flowing into certain people's pockets. They sold us out. Sold us out, lock, stock, and barrel. Saddam Hussein did not have to worry about the United Nations voting to go to war with him. But there are, thank God, in this nation, people that can't be bought. And Saddam Hussein got what he deserved, or he's about to. But anyway, I'm going to tell you something. Do not be disappointed if this goes all the way to even the family of the head of the United Nations. And like I said, it's being real low-key while the investigation is going on. But you want to be real careful. Because he thought he had the world bought. He thought, as the dictator of old Babylon, that he was in charge. That he ended up being in that hole in the ground that we dug him out of, or our troops did, which is the pit symbolic and foretold of in the great book of Daniel, where the king of Babylon, then Nebuchadnezzar, would be there for seven times, and so he was. I just wanted to pass that on, that you be aware. What would that be a type of? Not the sign itself, but a type of is a deadly wound. His many-nation control. And I have nothing against France, but their leader, he had him in his pocket. Okay. I mean, from not just for a year or two. For several years, he was in building this. And he stole food money and food from his own people, starving children, and paid it out to these people that could be bought. And he bought them. It ended up that even the great opposite of Tony Blair in Parliament in London, right under the table, my friend, big time. This speaks to the high heaven, and I know it has God's attention. And if you ever had a type of the deadly wound, you're looking at it. It's gapping. It's livid. It's happening. And you sure want to be aware. All right. Now, just observe, no big deal, it is not the deadly wound, but if you ever had a type and a sign of it, you're looking at it. So I only say that to keep you alert so that you know and understand what's happening. Open your Bibles as we go into things that anger our Father, displeasing God. Always when you are dealing with a subject that displeases God, that it might offend people, stick to the Scripture, okay? If anybody wants to be hurt or feel bad, let it be with God. He can handle it, okay? So, having said that, opening your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to hang in here for a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people. That's even in olden times. Nothing new about that. even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable. Do you know what this word damnable is in the Greek? Apollyon, which is akin to Satan's name Apollyon. Damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them. Take God's name out of everything. We don't need God's name in nothing. You've heard that before, haven't you? And bring upon themselves swift destruction. You don't have to worry about them. It's not up to you to get even with them. God's going to. Boy, have they got it coming, big time. And they're going to get it. And this very chapter warns of what they can expect, and I would not be surprised within this year you won't see a lot of it come to pass. I'm not talking about the return of God. I'm talking about God's revenge, God's vengeance. We've got too much going on. Satan's little troops took too big a step, and they overstepped their reach. And if you take too big a step and overstep your reach, do you know what happens? You fall on your other foot. See? That's what happens, and that's what they have done in demanding we want all things equal. Hey, there's nothing equal between Satan and God. Nothing. God does not compromise. God speaks, that's it. Like it? Lump it. It applies to both the good, bad, and the ugly. It's entirely up to you to decide how you want God to feel about you. You see, if He loves you, blessings flow. If He's against you, what a sorry life you're living. I don't even have to ask you about it. What a sorry life you're living. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of which the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You're going to have a lot of false teachers that put a bunch of garbage in between verses of God's word and mislead innocent people. God's not going to tolerate it. You remember what He did to Corey. It's time, and it's going to happen. Verse 3, and through covetousness, that's to say, fabrication, formed fabrications, shall they with feigned words, that's the fabrications, with fabricated words, make merchandise of you. They'll sell you out in a minute. And do you know what their tune is? It's okay. All you have to do is, If the body feels good with it, it's all right. You'll be okay. You know, if it feels good, do it. What hypocrisy. God has a set of rules, and your feelings don't have that much to do with it, nor does their feelings. When God speaks, that's it. He has spoken, it is written. And blessed be the name of the Lord. They will sell you down the tube, friend, so you want to stick with the Scripture. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Their damnation is their apalia, which is to say, part of the great apostasy which Apollyon, Satan, is going to bring to pass, or cause to bring to pass. Verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. This is the only word, this word hell is used in, from the Greek, Tartarus, the place of the giant, the fallen angels. And you know where those fallen angels were taken. We'll cover it here in a moment. He said, I mean, those were angels. He didn't even let them get away with it, much less some human being that misleads. They knew better, and most human beings know better also. it'll be all right. Just think about it. Don't you want to be fair? Don't you want everyone to have the same rights? Let me put it in just a little different tone. Do you want everyone to go to hell? I don't think so. But if you listen to that malarkey, that's where you'll end up. God will not let them get away with it. Their days are numbered, especially now. You want to be prepared to follow God. What angels is he talking about? Those that were around during Noah's flood. Well, what did they do? They did something very unnatural. There's something you want to understand and get real good in your mind. If something is not natural, God doesn't like it. Why? Well, God made everything natural. And anytime you cross that it's natural, it's perverted. It's wrong. I don't care who preaches you or teaches you what. If it is not natural, and any person, uneducated, untrained in God's Word, has the natural instinct to intuitively be able to recognize what's wrong. It's not natural. To you, it's repugnant. And nobody had to teach you that it's repugnant. It just is. Well, are you judging people? No, it's repugnant. It's terrible. It goes against the grain. It's sick. And you can't expect somebody to get used to that. Forget it. If it's not natural, it's not of God. He said, I didn't let even the angels get away with it. Don't think I'll let people get away with it. Okay, let's go with Jude. What's he talking about, those angels? Sixth verse of the great book of Jude, right before the great book of Revelation. Little bitty short book, one chapter, but boy, is it dynamite. And it tells about these angels that are in chains to be damned because they left their first habitation and came down. Well, what did they do? They saw the daughters of Adam through whom Christ would come and seduced them. And children were born. And they were not natural. They were devil, which is to say giants. Verse 6 reads in Jude, and the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of that great day. What day? The Lord's day. And it's coming, my friend. It's going to happen in this generation. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. That means man working with man and woman working with woman in the Greek. And set forth for an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. What happened to them? God burned them up. Lock, stock, and barrel. The whole hick and caboodle. Why? He won't put up with it. And people had better wake up to that fact. We're nearing that time that you better have your ducks in a row or get ready to burn. It's up to you. It's your choice. Well, I could just be angry at you. Don't be angry at me. Be angry at yourself. Because God has warned you. I'm only a teacher of this word. That's what this word says. They're damned. Well, what did God do again to Sodom and Gomorrah? What were they doing there? Well, the name explains it. And the prior verse told you exactly, going after what wasn't natural. God won't tolerate it. Likewise, verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, that's to say lordship from our Heavenly Father, and speak evil of dignities. Anytime someone tries to give good advice or they have something wicked to say about it or poop of it. Be careful, my friend. You hear it as though it's an everyday thing on television now. You even hear great churches making bishops out of practitioners of this evil thing. How do you think God feels? If he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for it, what do you think he's going to do to that church that made a bishop from that ilk? I can tell you it won't be nice. Verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a rallying accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Don't argue with Satan, and don't argue with them. Rebuke them. That's it. No more need be said. In the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have to tolerate it, and you don't have to put up with it. You don't have to get your hands dirty. Stay away from it. Brand it for what it is, hell-bound. No excuses. But God is a God of love. Yeah, he wants that kind of stuff put away from those children he loves because it's not natural. And we continue on then. Well, why would Satan want Moses' body? Do you know why God wouldn't let anybody else bury Moses? Last chapter of Deuteronomy, if you don't know it, don't turn there. Just make a note and study it out for yourself. God wouldn't let anybody else touch him, bury him or anything. God took him. So, needless to say, nobody knew where he was buried because God took him. Why would Satan want him? Because he's symbolic of the law and how Satan and these people hate the law and dignities that keep normal people in a normal, happy life. Verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. In the flesh they corrupt themselves. They can come up with all kinds of silly excuses. You've got to be fair. Don't you want to be fair? Doesn't everybody have an equal chance? Well, I guess we could say, you know, it's all right. If that's what you want, go for it. But we're sure going to miss you in heaven. You know, it's kind of sad state of affairs, isn't it, when somebody says, we don't want you there. You're out of here. It's so easy to change. Is it easy? I don't know. I learned a long time ago, don't judge people. But he's there, and he's waiting for everybody and anyone. He says, Father, I love you. Help me. I'll never forget one time when I was first started teaching on live television down in Florida, where they opened the phones up to all comers. A person who was under this spell, I'll call it, called in, and he said, you know, I believe what you're teaching, and I want to change. I want to convert, so I'm just going to tell you my name. And I said, no, don't tell. It is necessary for you to tell me your name on national television. And I gave him some instructions, and do you know the first thing that called after the program was, should I mention the denomination? No, I won't. I won't stoop to that. But one of the largest denominations in this country called me and said, why would you offer help to one of them? And I said, don't you think Christ would have? If anybody is drowning and reaches their hand out, I'm going to try to save them. I don't care who they are. I just wanted to throw that in, that we're not judges. But we are believers in God's Word, and we are responsible for teaching God's Word. And we make no apology for that word. That does not mean we cannot have compassion. I guess we could say maybe, but by the Lord's grace, there go I. I don't know. But they need to be warned. It's time for a change. Because Christ is returning. And that's it, friend. Period. Verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. Did we get that one? But what they know, but that is the natural. That's how you know the difference, my friend. If it's repugnant to you, it's not natural. It's not, doesn't mean you think lower of somebody or anything else. It's just repugnant. Verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. Do you know what the gainsaying of Kore is? Kore was supposed to be a son of Aaron, a priest. And he lined up. He was a great teacher because he had 250,000 followers. I mean, way back in that time, Moses' time. And he said to Moses, who do you think you are that you brought us out of the land of milk and honey down there with Pharaoh and led us out into this desert land and you want to be Lord over us? We're not following you. Moses fell on his knees and he began to pray to God to have mercy. And God said, you separate yourself from them. You get away from them. And you kind of draw a line. You people that are with me here, and you people over there, when on tomorrow you call them and see how many will cross over. None of them did. 250,000. You can read this in Numbers 16, all right? I'm repeating it to you, but that's where it's written. Do you know what God did to them? He opened the earth, it swallowed them, and he covered them over alive. I could still hear them. 250,000. You can't push God. When it's time, it's time. And my friend, we're approaching that place, the glass is tipped and the grains are falling. And you want to be very careful as far as time is concerned. It got straightened out. You couldn't hardly find somebody that didn't want to worship on Moses' side after that. Quakes happen. Earthquakes happen. It wasn't only for then. You want to be alert to it today. Verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. They don't care about God. They don't reverence him. They don't care what he thinks. Clouds they are without water. In other words, there's no fruit in them. Carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth. Do you know why? What is man's fruit? It's his children, right? Well, if you've got a man with a man, what kind of fruit do you think they're going to have? I mean, I'm a teacher of the word. That's what it says. Withers. Waste. Carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth. Without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You ought to get from that. God's kind of disgusted with it. Do you know what God says about you in Isaiah, 63? You are trees of my planting. Okay? And you're supposed to be following the tree of life. And, you know, when you fall away from that, God has a way of getting your attention. It's up to you. Totally and completely up to you. Do you understand that nobody can change what you're going to be judged by? You're going to be judged by what you do. Not what somebody says to you, but what your fruit is. Well, how do I know what my fruit is? Well, it may be raising a family, a fantastic family in this great nation. It could be a lot of things. It's not with it. Raging waves, verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars. And here he joins both the angels and the people. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? do you know when this teaching started? Do you really want to know? He tells you in the next verse. There was a great preacher that doesn't get much credit by people, but he's spoken of in the next verse, 14. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied. He preached of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. The Lord wants to get even. The Lord is bringing his troops. He's not going to allow it. He's going to adjust the attitudes just a little bit. And you're going to live to see it, I guarantee you. God cannot be mocked. And he is not happy at this time. This is why you want to beware. Things that displease God, get your hands off of it. This is not the time to be displeasing him, because he's soon returning. And he's not a happy camper with those that follow him, those that obey his word, those that propagate his word, those that produce fruit from his word. He's happy with you. But those that do not fear him or revere him, those that go the way of Korah, those that go the way of Cain, their lives won't amount to much. But whose fault is it? Their own. You're only judged by what you do. That's why when you sin, you better get to repenting just quick as you can when you get your heart straight and get it erased, because your letter, your book, is written in heaven. And in that book of life tells whether you live or die. And we're coming up on that time that it can be very, very serious. Return with me again to 2 Peter. We left there at the fourth verse. Let's pick it up with the fifth verse. In the fifth verse of 2 Peter reads, and spared not the old world. I mean, God doesn't mess around. That's what you want to really be on guard against or be aware of. And save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Well, what did he do with the ungodly? He throttled them. He got rid of them. He drowned them. God will not put up with nonsense. And any time, these people that want to take his name, I just can't stand that name God. Well, poor thing. I'd hate to be in their shoes very soon, because they're going to find out he's the nearest relative they've got. And if he's ashamed of them, what do you think their chances will be? God don't mess around. You know why? Because he loves those that are loyal. And he don't want them hankied with anymore. It's just like you love your children. You're not going to let a dangerous villain come next to them without hurting him. You're going to get rid of him. Well, God is too. He's going to get rid of those that hurt the family. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, he drowned those of Noah, he turned to ashes those of Sodom and Gomorrah, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. What was that? It was a sign. Sodom and Gomorrah was a sign that if you do that, God's going to destroy you. It's okay. We just want equality. Boy, are you going to get it. You know, it's sad, isn't it? It really is. But how far people can drift just a little niche at a time from God's Word. And you know, the sad thing, we had these same-sex marriages going on in a certain place, and the judge kept extending it and extended it. Do you know what that judge ended up being? He was a homosexual. A man in his right mind would have recused himself I'm talking about a judgeship. We got one of our worst enemies is people that are electing judges that try to legislate rather than judge. It just isn't right, and God won't tolerate it. You know, we don't have that much to worry about, but we do have to warn people, okay? Have to warn people. He was able, even when he destroyed that to ashes, verse 7, to deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. I mean, they were all around him. For that righteous man dwelling among them, is in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It was repugnant to him. He couldn't accept it. And Lot had an old uncle that kind of stood in for him. Lot had an old uncle that tried to keep things straight. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Where in hell? Our Father cannot be toyed with. He is not a compromiser. Well, what do you mean he isn't a compromiser? There is no such thing as partway believing. Well, I partly believe. No, you don't. There's no such thing as a partly believer. You either believe or you don't. And don't try to pretend you do when you don't to mislead people, or you'll answer for even that. Well, how did God deliver these? What was going on there? Well, I think it's probably important that we find out. Let's go back all the way to Genesis, and let's find out what was happening there in Sodom and Gomorrah. I think it's important, because God destroyed the whole bunch. We sure, if at all possible, I would hate to see him destroy a whole city in this generation, but that would not stop him from doing it. He can open that ground up and let it swallow just like he did before. And he can reach out and grab whoever he wants to. You know, Abraham, who was chosen to lead many people, saw three people coming, entities. One of them was the angel of God, which is to say the presence of God. And the other were two angels that were on their way to scout out Sodom and Gomorrah as to whether God would burn it or not, and everybody in it. And because God loved Abraham, he says in chapter 18 of the book of Genesis, let's pick it up about 17, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? You think I ought to let Abraham know what I'm going to do? Do you know what he was up to? Burning the city and the little allied cities around it. He was fed up. Think how hard to tell Abraham, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. I think I can tell Abraham, because he's going to stay true anyway. He's going to stay true to that is natural. Verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. This is God speaking now. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. Do you want to know what brings God down? What was going on at Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why you're receiving this message today. We're reaching a place that's going to bring God down, because he won't put up with it. And he will correct. So I feel there has to be a warning. You better be set for it. It's going to happen. God will come down. When it gets this, they overstep this far, for there are innocents that are ruined for life because of it, and God won't put up with it, would you? No. Most of us are of a mind. If a person wants to go to hell, that's their business, okay? This is a free nation. But don't try to drag people along with you. But first of all, know this. God is sure going to send you there. He's coming back. And this is what brings him down. He said, this alone, those cries of those little cries I'm hearing from Sodom and Gomorrah, of people being abused, innocence, I'm coming down, I'm taking care of it. And when it goes to the magnitude of hitting the press, of diluting that sacred thing that God created between Adam and Eve to try to disrupt it, God won't tolerate it. What did the other two do when God stayed behind and talked to Abraham, told him, and you know what Abraham did? He said, oh, God, save my nephew. If I find 50 people there, and he kept going down because he knew there weren't 50 people in Sodom and Gomorrah that were righteous. And God did honor him by saving Lot and his daughters. Chapter 19 of this great book of Genesis. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. Now, this is the two angels that were with God. God sent them. They're taking care of business. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. He'd worked up pretty high there, you know. The sitting in the gate means he was one of the judges, okay? And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He knew they were divine. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. Stay with me, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, nay, no way. But we will abide in the street all night. Now, let me give you a little secret. Those two angels didn't have to worry about what would happen to them in that street. Okay, so they got the power. But Lot, he knows those people. He knows what happens there after dark. You know, wickedness starts at dark, doesn't it? Not always, but... Verse 3, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Everything just right. Lot was a good old boy. But before they lay down, the men of the city, I want you to note, men, male, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. I mean, even the children were involved in this corruption. 5, and they called unto Lot. Now, what you're reading here is why God destroyed Sodom. And Gomorrah, okay? And they called unto Lot and said to him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Blatantly. Young boys and men of all ages, send them out. Verse 6, and Lot went out at the door and to them and shut the door after him. I want to warn you that back in this time, if a man took someone in his house, he had quite a responsibility to guarantee their safety. That still doesn't make it all right what he's about to do with me, but I guess we have to take that into consideration. 7, and he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Don't do this thing. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. They came here for my protection. Now, I'm not going to judge Lot, but I would have hollered out that door. Aye, ain't there something, you know, but but I do kind of mean it, though. And I said, you all better figure out how much double-aught buckshot your britches will hold, because it's headed your way. But he's wanting to protect these angels. That's like you trying to protect God. They don't need much protection. Okay. Don't need much protection. Verse 9, and they said, the two angels, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came to sojourn. In other words, this is the Sodomites. Stand back. This fellow, meaning Lot wasn't one of them. So there, you know, you talk about a group turning on a foreigner in a hurry, they'll do it, okay? He came to sojourn, and he will need to be a judge. He's sitting out here at the judgment gate. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. I mean, they were fighting. Verse 10, and the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. The angels didn't have any trouble getting Lot in and shutting the door. 11, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they worried themselves to find the door. Well, God knows, that's why it would say over in 2 Peter, God knows how to protect the just. He knows how to protect you at crucial times. But you've got to use good judgment, okay? You've got to use your smarts, your street smarts, your Bible smarts, and you've got to make an equation in your mind that is, what would God want me to do? God doesn't want you to be a second-class citizen. God wants you to take care of His business. That's why you call yourself Christian. You be a Christ man. Take care of business. Let's go back on to chapter 2 of 2 Peter. I'm going to be teaching this book next week. Maybe I'll just play this. Okay. Maybe I won't, too. Okay. Well, let's go with verse 10. Here in 2 Peter. Verse 10 reads, but chapter 2, 2 Peter. But chiefly, this is how we went there to find out how God can save just people. Are you just? Then don't worry. He can save you as long as you do your part. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. The government just isn't fair. We have the Patriot Act, and it gets real nosy. Well, let's define terrorists and see what they're doing. Yeah. How many of you are doing something wicked that you're afraid for the government and for this time be to know what you're doing? If you're doing something they shouldn't know, you better change your ways. You need to straighten up. Every once in a while, we have to pull together to overcome, and we have to respect our government. We've got young people of all denominations that are over dying to protect this nation and our freedoms and to free other people. So you want to respect your government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They don't care what they say about God. They'll even take you to court over God. They even have their own little legal system that kind of backs them up at every drop. Verse 11, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not lying accusations against them before the Lord. Don't argue with Satan. It's a waste of time. It doesn't pay. Just stick to the truth. Teach it. That's it. But these are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And it's going to happen. It's their choice, though. Don't feel sorry for them. It's their choice. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Do you know what this feast with you? It means a religious feast. They'll go to church with you. They'll claim to be Christian. I'd be a servant of God. I don't have time to do God's word, but I do love God. And you better be very careful around someone like that. They're not sincere. Can sweet water run with sour and still come out drinkable through the same pipe? Of course not. Can someone run with Satan and Christ and still claim to be a Christian? Of course not. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from a sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, and they are cursed. You know, that's God's word. But I want to cap this off in completion in Romans chapter 1 because it goes to nature. You know, you don't have to be a big, deep Bible scholar. And why I want to go here, I want you to know that God holds people that don't even go to church accountable. Pick it up with verse 18 in Romans chapter 1. We're going to just read a few verses here and we're finished with this. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God is angry with them. He won't take it. He won't put up with it. You want to be set, my friend. I really think that we're very near some things quite important about to happen. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them by light of nature and by human instinct. God, in creating man, instilled right and wrong within them about nature. Creation is nature, about your nature, about... If you're doing something that is very wrong, that is repugnant to you, that is God's having created that that is intuitive in you to know without even having studied. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You can feel it. You know it. Being understood by the things that are made, that he created, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, they don't have to be taught from the Bible. Their own nature lets them know this is wrong. Absolutely forbidden. But you know, a little bit here and a little bit there and one of these coy... It'll be all right. I'd be a holy man. If I was a, you know, do you think being a holy man, if it was wrong, I would tell you. Yeah, whose holy man is he? Not our Lord's. By nature alone, they are without excuse. That's not the way I look at it. That's the way God looks at it, so I follow. And you know something? Do you know why I can really believe that? I can really believe by nature that we know it, because every time someone tells me, you got to get used to that, forget it. It's repugnant. It is against my nature. And I know it from God alone. And so do you. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. If you want to believe lies, God will let you. Okay? Over and over. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. 23, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Isn't nature wonderful? Let's go out in the nature and let's worship out there. Now, I love nature. That's why I live on a farm still yet, okay? But I just enjoy it. I don't worship it. I got some of the prettiest little deer you ever saw in your life, and they just come up, and every one will always go by and say, I love you. I think it's because of the corn I give them. But anyway, I love nature, but that's not what we're talking about here, okay? They make God into what he isn't. He's our Father. He's not a stick. He's not something else. He loves us. 24. Wherefore God also gave them, read this good, gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They know better. God built that in. 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, whom is blessed forever. Amen. They worship more that God created, that means each other, more than they do God himself. 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And they knew better. 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. They're going to get it. That is unnatural is repugnant to a normal person. They can't help it. Well, I just think they should be more reasonable. It's repugnant. 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with an unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. A lot of help there, aren't they, to the community? Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Nice group. Yeah. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Anything that doesn't have natural affection, be careful, my friend. Implacable, unmerciful. 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It's coming, my friend, and it is our right and duty to warn, to bring knowledge forth. Is this something that none of you knew? Every one of you knew every verse probably that I read in this lecture. But we have to do it publicly because of the hour. It's coming. And there needs to be a warning. There's still time to change. But the reason it's delivered to you is because it's a sign of the times. It's a sign that God's coming down. And we're very close to that time. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for your written word, your warnings, your love, Father, your leading. Father, we ask that all could look to you for leading, direction, forgiveness, for love, for guidance. Father, we know you're coming very soon to take care of business. Any way we can assist in taking care of that business,